TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness. Reclaiming Native American History. The Yuki of Tule Valley. The events of 2020, the toppling of statues and discoveries of hidden history, reminded me of events in early 2000. Soon after, I moved my radio production to Mendocino County. The state historic marker at the entrance to the Round Valley Indian Reservation in Northern California reads, "This valley was discovered by Frank M. Asbill, arriving from Eden Valley on May 15, 1854. During the same year, Charles Kelsey from Clear Lake also visited it, and George E. White sighted it from Blue Nose." There's another account of the history of that day that is forgotten. On May 15, 1854, the Yuki, inhabitants of the valley for over 12,000 years, discovered six white men on their land. Led by Pierce Asbill, the men opened fire and killed 40 of them. The Asbills returned a year later and captured 35 Yuki women and sold them as slaves to the gold miners. In the spring of 2000, an effort was begun to rewrite the language on the historic marker and officially recast the bronze plaque. Part of the group was Cora Lee Simmons and Ernie Merrifield, tribal members from Round Valley. Nancy Schaefer from Ukiah collected old photos, records, land deeds, and eyewitness accounts. She had the help of two local historians. She also got the support of then Green Party member and former Congressman Dan Hamburg and his wife Carrie. TUC Radio joined the group in the fall of 2000, just in time for the first public meeting at the American Legion Hall in Round Valley. Descendants of the Yuki had come, as well as Wailaki. Their great-grandparents had been force-marched into the valley by the cavalry. Only three white members of the community had come. Ann Benson is a retired school teacher. She was concerned about the descendants of the men on the historic marker who are still living in the valley today.
I do have a suggestion that I think would go down with the descendants of the old white settlers. It says, the valley was discovered. What it should say is that Frank Asbill and so forth and so on, the other ones, viewed the valley, were the first white men to view the valley, which had been inhabited by Native Americans for thousands of years. I cannot see how anybody could object to that.
I will, immediately. So long as we add that these people were killers, they were murderers of Native Americans, then yes, they viewed it.
Well, that's not going to go. That's not going to go. It's not going to flow.
There's a move underway to change the marker at Bloody Island because it calls it a battle and it was a massacre. Right. The Squaw Rock Monument was taken down because it was talking about a fantasy. There was just a legend of something that never happened. This is not just going on in Covelo. This is going on all over the state of California. When I called the State Historical Resource Commission and told them that I was concerned about this plaque, they knew right away what I was talking about. It wasn't like, what's wrong with it? It was like, yeah, we know.
We were against this. We were against this. Our word is no good, Dan. It even entering a new millennium, an Indian's word is still not good. So I'm honored that you white people came forward to speak on our behalf to get rid of that evil thing up there and put the truth. And I wish there could be more white people like you all because, hey, it would have been bombed out of there a long time ago.
I'm hoping, you know, it would be worded as if, where's our heroines? Mm-hmm. You know, not just only the white man heroine. Where's ours? Where's our monuments? And it's through our trails the white man followed and overtook us. followed in our footsteps and overtook us because they had ammunition. We only had bow and arrows. So now we have to be oppressed.
It doesn't even say it's a reservation. Why not? And to split the people with it sitting right there, Cindy, that keeps the white and the Indian apart. Stuff like that, lies.
I agree with you.
Why not take it down?
Well, I think the plaque ought to be thrown away, destroyed, or put the truth on it. If they want the truth, this is a stolen valley. Mm-hmm. That should be on the plaque. You want to put it up there?
Mm-hmm.
The stolen valley, everybody knows it is a stolen valley. The Indians here were murdered for this valley. The government paid white people $1 for every Indian they killed. They ought to put that on the plaque too. So that's history, true history. They don't want the Indians to have anything. Hold them down. Put them on the reservation.
What would you put on it?
What would I put on it? I'd put on it Round Valley, View Round Valley, home of the Yuki Indians, the stolen valley that was paid for with money to murder Indians. And the first white people that walked into the valley murdered 40 Indians. That's what I've read. They didn't get paid for it. They did it just for fun. It's like they were killing a dog or a fly or something like that. That's history, true history. A lot of people ought to be ashamed of it.
I was told that when they came in, they came with guns. They brought these soldiers and they killed like over 2,000 Yuki's kids and all. Even my aunt said that when they drove them over here, how she got away is her mother put her in a hollow, burned out log, and she survived, but her mother was killed, and the white soldier guy took her and raised her as a white girl. I would like to see something written on the plaque that, you know, about our Indian people, the different tribes that were driven into this valley, and a little history of what happened. They lost their homes, lost everything that they had, yeah.
The language should begin with Round Valley was the original home of the Yuki tribal people. European settlers came in and viewed the valley, and the federal government realized that genocidal practices were occurring throughout California because of the gold rush. Then it was the government's decision to reserve this valley for other tribal people. And then I would go after that and list all of the various tribes, mm-hmm. and where they came from, you know, the directions. You know. And there are many, many tribes to list. And then after that information is on there, then we can make statements such as Emmett offered, mm-hmm. that the valley then was deliberately stolen from this reservation status, you know, by the pioneers who wanted the land, you know, livestock operators lobbied to Washington and had this giant reserve reduced. And while that was happening, those very pioneers were actually slaughtering tribal people. I mean, if they put any name on that monument, and it's going to be historically accurate, then they could say Captain Jarbo of Mendocino County rode through Round Valley killing every living being at every village that he and his citizens, militia, and vigilantes actually spotted.
Jarbo was hired to do that. He was actually hired and enabled by the U.S. government. And to me, that truth is part of the abomination. The part that made me lie down on my table, on my desk this winter, and cry and say, I'm going to do something about this, because I thought they were enabled by the U.S. government. And Hastings, who was the first Chief Justice, he became owner of and held title to Eden Valley. He supervised the setting up and the organization of Jarbo.
That was Nancy Schaefer from Ukiah. You heard voices from the first meeting to rewrite the language on the historic marker on the entrance to the Round Valley Indian Reservation. I offered to broadcast the next meetings on my low-power radio transmitter, and everybody thought that was a good idea. The meeting was well attended. The Mendocino County supervisor from the district and several descendants of white settlers had also come. Don Rome is a great-grandnephew of the Asbill mentioned on the plaque.
Hi, I'm Donald Rome. I was born and raised in Tupelo. My grandmother's name is Florence Asbill, and my grandfather's name was Europe Asbill. Before my grandmother married Europe, her name was Florence Duncan. So that's from the Johnny Duncan clan. Had a lot of people known here, and I'm strictly against changing anything on that sign, and I'm all for making another sign the way it's wanted to be read. And if it's donations, I'll be one of your first to put in the biggest donation. And I'll make a promise that I will not deface it like this other one up here has been defaced. And I hope Mr. Slicer looks at this long and hard before he makes a decision.
Your hesitancy on calling murder, murder, on stealing of land, somebody has to tell the truth, and our young people cannot grow up with a basic and healthy sense of reality unless some elders start telling the truth. You know, we all as older people complain about the government and how they lie. Let us not participate in that. The truth is not going to hurt any of us now. This is history we're talking about. We're not talking about present persons.
I agree that history needs to be told, but the only part about history is unfortunately we cannot do anything about it. There's a tremendous amount of history already written that shows a genocide in this valley, in this area. And if we keep bringing it up and bringing it up, it's going to be more divisive than it ever, than it is right now. We need to, we need to say, hey, we didn't want it to happen. It did happen. There's not a thing we can do about it.
History. I remember this place here used to be called the Ship Bar. I remember many of my people sitting in this bar, and that is history. I remember myself sitting across the street in that bar over there and did some things that were very antisocial, and how I am so ashamed of it to this day at the age of 60 years. But I will tell you, by gum, there is something that I can do about that history of my personal life. And I can do it. If I can do it of my personal life, I can start making amends to those that I hurt, starting from the place across the street. And I believe we as the community, we can start making amends to those people that we hurt by placing this plaque up there that so degrades the Native American people. Or we can just take it down. Let's have nothing. Zilch.
Well, when Floyd was talking about history is history and people may be hurt, well, as Yuki from Yuki descendants, we're kind of hurt too, because I think our young people are kind of forgetting who were the first people here who were driven in. So I think it was the young people that really don't know what's happened to the valley here. So we need to bring this history out. Forget about who it's going to hurt and who it's going to hurt. We're not thinking about the Yuki people. I'd like to see that sign change for the whole community, educating our young people, too, along with it.
I read that sign 15 times the other day. I didn't see where it degraded anybody. And history is history, and history will stay history. We cannot change it. And I talked to your council up here at the Buffalo Room, and they agree with me that they would just leave it like it is and make another one and set it side by side.
My name is Tessa Rose, and I work at the school, and I've been listening with close attention. I have to be home tonight, but I'm very happy to see what's going on. And I just wanted to say that I really agree with some things that were said before. I would also be glad to donate some money to erect a new marker, and I also agree that putting the old marker in the museum is a very good idea. And thank you very much.
My name is Brittany Short, and I'm in biology.
The child is saying, "I'm a Wailaki, and I want to know the truth." That was the second meeting to find new language for the State Historic Marker 674 on the Round Valley Indian Reservation. KZYX, the local community radio station that reaches most of Mendocino County, gave us 2 hours to put the issue before a much larger audience. Here's my question on KZYX to the historian Irmas Caldvere.
There is the thought to consider how Native Americans feel when they pass this marker and see these names on the marker. There's a date on the marker. It says May 15th, 1854. Irmas, can you recall that time, that date? And let us know what Frank Asbill and Charles Kelsey...
And others. Right. Frank Jr., who is the nephew of Frank Asbill, who's claimed to have discovered the valley, wrote about his own uncle, that his uncle and his father were both men who, if they had stayed in Missouri, would be as famous as the Jameses or the Youngers or any of these other desperados and so on. That gives you an idea of what kind of men we're talking about here in the first place. Along with them was a fellow by the name of Samuel Kelsey. And if you know anything about the Kelseyville area and Clear Lake and what happened there, then you know that the Kelseys fit right in there with the Asbills. These are men who, very rough, very tough, and they entered the valley, and the first thing that they did when they were confronted by the Yuki, who were interested in seeing them but were a little bit leery of who these men were, the first thing they did was got into a fight with them. And the result was that 40 Yuki were killed. They had to run from the valley because there were enough Yuki there to chase them out after that. They came back in 1855 and they started eliminating the deer. They were hide hunters, which meant that they killed somewhere on the order of 50 deer or so a day, each person. They made a fortune in buckskin, right? This is buckskin for gloves, for pants, for everything that was, because all of the exploitation of the valleys in Mendocino County was based on what was happening in the Sierras as a result of the gold rush. In the process of shooting deer in the local area, they also ran across at one time a Mexican vaquero in the Sacramento Valley who asked them, this was in 1855, asked them, "Are there any women, Native American women in the mountains that you could bring in to sell and we'll trade you for horses?" And so the Asbill said, "Yeah, sure, we can do that. There are thousands." In fact, according to Frank Jr., he said, "Yeah, there are thousands of women." They wanted women and children to be used in the ranches. And so the Asbills came back. They captured about 35 women that first year and took them over the hills and traded them for three women per horse. That was the going rate at the time. Slave trading had been going on since the Spanish era, but they were the first ones to introduce it into Round Valley, so it began to actually affect the Yuki and the people in the surrounding drainage of the Eel River and so on. And then on top of that, these guys also brought in hogs by the thousands. And hogs were good because for the pork for the Chinese who are working on the railroads and who are working still in the mines. And there was a big going business in hogs, but hogs love acorns, the sustaining food for the Yuki and the Pomo and everybody else. And here were the hogs, which loved the acorn. They were just grazing on everything, taking all the food away. So the Asbills had a tremendous effect in that way. And then on top of that, the Asbills were also involved in a lot of the killing that took place during the period from 1854 to about 1862 called the Mendocino County Wars, during which time settlers just organized as volunteer groups, and they actually had a commission from the governor of California to hunt Indians.
We have to pass that plaque every time we come into the valley, every time we leave out of the valley, but we're a strong people. We've taken it. We know the truth. It's those who refuse to honor the truth are the people that really we need to feel sad for. Because to me, that plaque is filled with nothing but hate. it is hate that is in that plaque for Indian people. But it's a new millennium. It's time to leave that old hate behind, and let's put the truth there on that plaque. And we will all accept it together. Together. Let's accept the truth. It's time for the truth to be known, to be published.
And it seems we're already joined by a caller. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello.
Where are you calling from?
This is Robert. I'm from west of Willits out here. We're on the Noyo watershed. We live here kind of among the ghosts. You know, there was a trail of tears that came out here over Old Sherwood Road and all the way to Fort Bragg, where they built a fort supposedly to protect the Indians, and then they marched them back through the snow, and it's a pretty bad history. And I was just going to say, you know, if somebody wanted to go out and cry a little bit, you might go out to Blood Creek out there, right where Old Sherwood Road turns off toward Covelo Road there, and look at those rocks where people were murdered. They were starving, and they killed some horses, and the settlers thought that the blood in the creek was from human beings, and they went and they killed about 40 people on that rock. And Alf Sherwood, who was an Englishman who was married to an Indian, he loved the Pomo people, and he got there too late to stop the slaughter. Yeah, you got to kind of watch it, because things will make you cry around here. Anyway, appreciation, and just know that you're very, very dear to many of us who are not Indian people, but we appreciate you, and we're glad that you're holding up your ways.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you.
There's many people just like you, and we love you all for it.
We have another caller. You're on the air. Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Andrea Luna. I'm actually calling from Fort Bragg. I have a little store right on Main and Laurel in Fort Bragg, and I really appreciate the show. It's extremely painful and heart-rending to really acknowledge this. There's such an incredible amount of denial amongst we who are the European newcomers here. And the same story, a different chapter of the story happened right here in Fort Bragg, right where I am right now, was kind of the center of where the reservation was created with the fort that was supposedly to protect the Indians, and it was just another chapter in the genocide. And I think that this discussion needs to be held publicly in every community up and down the coast in the whole county. This was only 150 years ago. Yeah. I mean, just I can't even begin to imagine the feelings that are still contained amongst these people who remember pretty recent history of what happened to their families. And there are ghosts, many, many ghosts. I think of that every time there's another celebration, another parade, you know, a 4th of July parade, and everybody dresses up, in the costumes of 100 years or so ago, all the Europeans. And in the background lurking are all the ghosts, all the spirits of these people that were, killed and raped and murdered and whose children were stolen. There was this Indian Indenture Act then that made it legal to steal Indian children. So I appreciate it. It's time that we can speak and come to terms with this and to begin to see how we can make some amends. But beginning to acknowledge the truth, the whole truth, is just a little tiny step. So I say good work and thanks for the show.
I'd like to add how much truth dares to come out. You know, you're speaking of tell the whole truth. How much truth is going to be told?
What the caller just talked about the ghosts, it reminds me of Chief Seattle and him saying to the white man, basically generic white man, that until you face the truth of what you have done, our ghosts will be walking in your streets. No matter how much you pave them, no matter how much what buildings you put upon them, the ghosts will always remain.
I just have to say this, Irmas. As we were up there at the plaque, I was waiting for the Press Democrat to get there to take these photos, and I was looking down at the valley, just kind of pondering about the whole issue, and the thought came to me, this is truly a valley whose floor is made up of blood.
Oh, indeed.
Indeed. And that came to me so strongly, but like Florine say, how much of the truth are we going to really let be known? Because that would surely be the heading of any plaque there, the valley with the floor of blood of Native American people.
Mm-hmm. The first caller talked about Bloody Run Creek, just outside of Potter Valley on the Eel River is a place called Bloody Rock, where a similar kind of event took place where a large number of Native people, this time not Yuki but Hoochnam, which are Yukian speakers, who were surrounded on the rock and then simply picked off one by one by white sharpshooter settlers who were just after them in a spree of killing that went on in Potter Valley and turned Potter Valley also, or at least the land above Potter Valley, also into blood. The descriptions of the sounds and the fires that the settlers set all along the river that night and the killing that was going on is only something that could be imagined from Dante's Inferno or something. It was hell. All the truth? You were talking about Florine, all the truth?
Yes.
The whole damn nation, right? The whole nation, from sea to shining sea.
Yes.
This is a documentary about the beginning of the ultimately successful project to change the language of State Historic Marker 674. It sits at the entrance to the Round Valley Indian Reservation. All meetings were also broadcast live on TUC Radio's own transmitter. And this was, of course, before live streaming on the Internet was possible. So on March 21st, 2002, California Registered Historical Landmark number 674 was replaced with this. The first inhabitants of Round Valley were the Yuki, who resided here for thousands of years, in harmony with their natural surroundings. In 1854, European settlers entered the valley. In 1856, conflicts between settlers and Yuki escalated. And to protect local tribes, the entire watershed was designated a reservation. Additional tribes were subsequently forced on the property. Nomlaki, Wailaki, Lasik, Sinkyon, Pomo, including Karo, Kabeo, Shodakai, Yokeo, Shokawa, Chanel, Kashaya, and Habenapo, among others. Wapo, Konkau, Maidu, Kulusa, and Achumawi. In 1864, the government reduced the reservation by 4/5 to its current size. And even this new text leaves more opportunities for improvement. You can hear this program again for free on TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. Look at the newest programs or the podcast page. My name is Maria Gelarden. Thank you for listening.